On the night of the Fenice fire, while Tonci Foscari stood on the roof of the music conservatory, transfixed, unable to take a photograph, Francesco D'Amosto, also an architect, mingled with his dinner guests on his altana on the other side of the theater, watching the blaze through the viewfinder of his whirring video camera. Francesco and Jane D'Amosto had been giving their first dinner party as a married couple when their landlord called to ask if they were burning down his house. He had seen smoke rising over the house from across town. Francesco went up to the altana to investigate, and when he got there, it all became abundantly clear. The D'Amosto's rooftop afforded a close, unobstructed view of the fire, and as the evening wore on, friends and family members came over, among them Francesco's father, Raniere D'Amosto. Count D'Amosto was a member of the Venice City Council, which had abruptly adjourned its evening session upon receiving news of the fire. Francesco had been working as an auditor for the Public Works Department, and in the days that followed the fire, he was pressed into service with a group seeking to reconstruct the dynamics of how the fire started and to assess the stability of the Fenice's surviving outer walls. One afternoon, the Milanese architect, Aldo Rossi, came to the Fenice to look at its remains. Rossi, who had designed the restoration of the Carlo Felice Opera House in Genoa, had recently joined Holzmann Romagnoli, the German-Italian consortium preparing a bid for the reconstruction. As he was being escorted around the site, Rossi mentioned that he was looking for a Venice-based architect to work on the Fenice with his group. The head engineer suggested Francesco D'Amosto. Meeting the next day, Rossi and D'Amosto had coffee and discussed the Fenice. Rossi found D'Amosto to be well-informed and engaging. "I want you on the team," Rossi said, adding that he preferred informal working relationships. "When you address me," he told D'Amosto, "use the to form." Informality suited Francesco D'Amosto perfectly. At 35, he had a shock of unruly, prematurely white hair and an inclination to wear comfortable, usually rumpled clothes, a sport shirt open at the collar, a loose-fitting jacket, and cargo pants with big pockets. He could often be seen riding in his outboard motorboat through the canals or out into the lagoon. The D'Amosto family was one of the oldest in Venice, its ancestry traceable more than 1,000 years. The contemporary D'Amostos lived in Palazzo Mutibaglioni, a huge Renaissance palace tucked into the narrow streets near the Rialto food markets. Francesco had an office in a studio on the mezzanine floor. "The doorbell is out of order," he told me on the phone. "When you get to the front door, look up. You will see a string hanging down from a window above it. Pull the string. It will ring a bell in my office, and I will buzz you in. Then come up one flight." D'Amosto greeted me at the landing of a red-carpeted stairway. As we turned to go into his office, he gestured toward a marble bust on a pedestal by the door. "Meet Alvise D'Amosto," he said, "my favorite ancestor. He discovered the Cape Verde Islands in 1456 at the age of 29.